919. You know what's one of the fallacies, at least of this conservative talk show, and I think some other talk shows, but you guys think you're never wrong. You just think you're never wrong. I probably admit I'm wrong more than any other talk show host. That allows me the luxury of gloating. I didn't say I was wrong more than any other talk show host. I say I admit it. It allows me the luxury of gloating when I'm right. Because if I don't shamelessly gloat when I'm right about something, you'll think I'm never right. In terms of making predictions, and that's what I'm talking about here now, not belief system. I do believe I'm always right in what I believe, or I wouldn't believe it, and I wouldn't talk about it on the show for hours at a time. But when I make predictions and I'm wrong, I say so. By the way, before I get to this, at my class reunion, this guy insisted that the show was all about politics. I'm like, you never really do listen to the show, do you? You don't actually listen to the show. Ah, he's a school teacher. What does he know? I'm kidding. Actually, if I was going to say that about a teacher, it'd be, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I kid. Sheboygan and teachers, he goes, in 1.5 hour period. So imagine how Sheboygan teachers must feel right now. They're getting both barrels. Oh, come on. People in Sheboygan know that I'm... It's like picking on your sibling, except in my family. For most families. It's like, now you did that. I am on a roll, aren't I? Where I'm rolling to is the question. I predicted that there was no way, no how, that Congressman Paul Ryan would run for president in 2016. I said he did not want to run for vice president in 2012, but when called upon, you serve. Mitt Romney nominated him. He said yes. It is widely believed that others, including Marco Rubio, said, don't pick me. Jason says that's a stupid rule. Apparently, Marco Rubio thought it was a stupid rule, too. Because, I mean, he's never said this on the record, but it's widely believed that he said, dude, I will say no. And that is going to be awkward. So don't do that. Don't pick me. You really think he would have said no? It sounds like he would have. You're just never supposed to say no. I believe if Paul Ryan had his choice, he would have said no. But I could be wrong on that, and this is where I'm going. It is looking more and more like he is actually going to run in 2016. In his new book, as the Journal Sentinel puts it, Paul Ryan urges GOP to stop preaching to the choir. He says his party is doomed to future defeats unless it broadens its appeal beyond a traditional base of older white voters. The book put out by Hatchet Book Group, or Hachette, I don't know how they pronounce their name. Ryan repudiates his use of the phrase makers and takers to describe the difference between Americans who pay more in taxes than they receive in benefits, makers, and those who receive more than they pay, takers. He expounded on that thesis in a piece in Saturday's Wall Street Journal, A Better Way Up from Poverty. I've learned I was wrong to talk about makers and takers. We have to do more to unwind the cycle of dependency on government. This is Paul Ryan in advance of today's release of his book, The Way Forward, in a long piece in Saturday's Wall Street Journal. I'm going to share some of it here with you. In July 2012, our local fairground was full of families, farmers, and visitors who had traveled to Janesville for the Rock County 4-H Fair. I was shaking hands and talking with people when a man made his way over to me. Hey, Paul, he said, I just need a minute. I'm from the Democrats' tent. I just wanted to come over here and give you a piece of my mind. He got up close and asked, who exactly are the takers? Excuse me, I replied. The makers and the takers, he said. I know who the makers are, but who are the takers? Is it the person who lost a job and is on unemployment benefits? Is it the veteran who served in Iraq and gets medical care through the VA? When you talk about the takers, who exactly do you mean? I had started using the phrase makers and takers after the Tax Foundation issued a study comparing how much families receive in government spending with how much they pay in taxes. If a family's share of government spending exceeded the amount paid in taxes, the study deemed them receivers. If it was less, they were described as givers. The Tax Foundation's analysis found that 60% of American families were net receivers, and under President Obama's policies, that number would grow to 70. The phrase givers and receivers was similar to another term making the rounds, makers and takers. Both seemed convenient shorthand for a serious problem. Over the years, we've been slowly adding to the number of benefits that government provides to an increasing number of our citizens. Some of those benefits are worthy, laudable commitments, but others aren't really the responsibility of government or the kind of thing we can afford. If we keep on this way, we'll reach a tipping point where there are too many people receiving government benefits and not enough people to pay for those benefits. That's an untenable problem. The receivers cannot receive more than the givers can give. Even so, that day at the fair was the first time I really heard the way the phrase sounded. Later, I thought about that guy from the Democrats' tent, and eventually I realized he's right. Who was a taker? My mom, who was on Medicare? Me, at 18 years old, using the Social Security survivor's benefits we got after my father's death to go to college? My buddy, who had been unemployed and used job training benefits to get back on his feet? The phrase gave insult where none was intended. People struggling and striving to get ahead, that's what our country is all about. On that journey, they're not takers. They're trying to make something of themselves. We shouldn't disparage that. Of course, the phrase wasn't just insensitive, it was also ineffective. The problem was I was trying to describe wasn't about our people. It's a philosophy of government that erodes the American idea. Like many of the challenges we're facing, the tipping point we're approaching is the result of a liberal progressive mindset that seeks a larger, more active government and lets bureaucrats decide what's best for everyone instead of allowing citizens to govern themselves. Its response to every social problem is more government, more bureaucracy, and more taxpayer money. The government-centered approach is at the core of modern-day liberalism and the Obama administration's policy decisions. Have a high unemployment rate? Pass the $787 billion spending bill. Got an energy crisis? Dump millions of taxpayer dollars into a boondoggle like solar cell maker Solyndra. Need to lower health care costs? Hand over decisions to a bloated bureaucracy in D.C. Now the problem isn't bad motives, it's bad ideas. I want to repeat that. The problem isn't bad motives, it's bad ideas. All of these policies stem from an ideology that favors coercion over collaboration, that puts faith in government instead of in a free people. And the results speak for themselves. Fortunately, there is an alternative, the founders' vision, which puts individuals, their families, and their communities, not government, at the center of American life. What does this vision look like in action? For starters, it favors choice and competition over government-run solutions. It would make healthcare a true market with transparent prices and more choices. It would empower Americans to make their own health decisions instead of top-down price controls imposed by bureaucrats. We'd have bottom-up competition driven by millions of consumers. That won't just lower healthcare costs, it will improve quality of care. The vision also means promoting a foreign policy that rejects relativism and embraces exceptionalism, ensuring our prosperity and security. In other words, being okay to say we are morally superior to other countries. I want to get back to this after the news. And I do want to get your thoughts on this. It's 9:29.
Jerry Bader Show is sponsored in part by American Metal Roofs of Northern Wisconsin.